Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. Good evening. This is Friday, September 18th, a couple of days before U2 begins the official concert at the Gillette Stadium. And it's about 9:30. And we just wanted to thank you all for joining in and tuning in. And I just want to thank the Lord and ask the Lord's blessing upon those that are our Facebook friends and those who are in the YouTube community as well as Blog Talk Radio. Wow, Jeff, my husband and I just had a jam-packed week. And it all stemmed from this prayer experience that we had at this particular shrine in Holliston, Massachusetts. And, you know, it's so funny. When the Lord starts ministering to me about what he's about ready to do in certain people groups and countries and governments and segments of the church, it's like he just does it so well. And the little tidbit that he's, willing to share with me is just so awesome. It's beyond words, and it's just so wonderful. But I do know one thing. I do know that the Lord hears the cry of the poor. He loves the poor in heart, and he loves the poor in spirit, because it says in Scripture, when we are weak, he is our strength. You know, he's there in our weakness and our humility. And in our humility, that's when we acknowledge our weakness. And I really believe that this is the beginning stages of pure worship. And so, you know, it was so funny. We just visited my son Joshua at Family Day last Sunday. And it was a very strange time for my son, because he not only, his family, which is us, but everybody else's family. It was just such a major intrusion, and he just wanted to totally be like by himself in a good way, in a peaceful setting, not too many people screaming. And sometimes he can get overwhelmed. Sometimes I believe that, you know, we all can get overwhelmed when we have too many things going on or around us, going on first of all in our mind and our soul, and then going on around us in the world in which we live. So we have to take some time out. We have to take prayer breaks out. And at this particular juncture, we have visited this particular shrine. And we found out there was going to be a gathering. We were trying to get away from people, but we found out there was going to be a gathering. But it was so funny. Before the official gathering at this particular shrine, there was a group of worshipers visiting the church from another worshiping community in another part of the body of Christ. Okay, and, this was a Catholic shrine, and it still is a Catholic shrine. It wasn't just was, but it is. And it was so wonderful to see that the church is open to, like, the Baptists coming into worship. And I'm telling you, it was like we entered into the book of Revelation when this group was worshiping the Lord. They got really into it. And I swore there was incense in the room. And it wasn't a normal sanctuary. It was the other meeting room where everybody meets. It was likened to, like, the outer court. But they were dressed up in the attire that maybe, the elders and the 24 elders in the court would be dressed up. I believe a lot of the people dressed up in white. They had white headdresses on, and some had other colors on, but they were all in unison. They were all worshiping the Lord in spirit and truth for extended periods of time. the drumming was so like incredible. It was so funny because that's my instrument of choice in the Holy Spirit is drums, percussions, and the ancient drums. I don't like to use sticks. I like to use my hands. So the Lord does something with that. I start to get revelations when I'm worshiping with the congas from the, you know, my hands to the drums. And when I heard the beat, it sounded so familiar. It sounded like something that the Lord had given me in the spirit some time ago, and I just wanted to join them. But, you know, it was one of those closed group situations that maybe because they were coming from outside and, you know, there was a retreat of some sort. But it was just nice to just peek and it kind of like become one with the sound coming from heaven. You can be anywhere around the building. You know, you don't necessarily have to be in the room. And on the other side of the worship, there was an enclosed barrier. And in the church, we have what you call a tabernacle, which houses the host, consecrated host. And there was a couple of us in the sanctuary at the time that this worship was going on the other side of the wall. And it was so awesome. I started smelling smoke and incense, the smoky substance of incense. And it was coming from, you know, it was well ingrained within my nostrils. So I knew at this point there was a possibility that this was a very spiritual thing and that they were physically were not burning the incense. So my whole test is to ask people around me, are they burning incense? I guess that's fair, isn't it? And so I did that several times when the incense was very strong. And people say, no, I didn't smell any. I didn't realize they had incense here. I didn't see any. So I knew that the Lord was at work and that this sound was very pleasing unto him. And it was doing something in the spirit. It was doing something for Africa. It was doing something for the church, for the body of Christ. It was accomplishing something, and I just wanted to bless God and thank God for that, and so, you know, this just leads me to like some scriptures about incense going up. You know, did you know that, you know, our prayers rises like incense before the Lord up to the throne, okay, and we have, people. I have, believers who have been walking in the Lord, intercede a lot in their lives. It kind of grows on you. It becomes like, you know, you, like part of your clothing, your spiritual clothing. And the way that it rises to the Lord is likened to smoke, but it's not only metaphorical. It's really going on. When your spirit man is growing larger than your soul, okay, it takes up more residency. So these things happen because our spiritual man has a higher nature, and when we are obeying the spiritual law, and as it relates to our nature, our divine nature, who we are in Christ Jesus, then the dictates of heaven take over our being. And it says, you know, I have some scriptures here that my husband was, God bless him, was able to pull together for this show. And honey, just feel free to, interject anything that you feel the Lord is calling you to, okay? And I just want to say, this is Dr. Shirley Caniff. I don't even think I said who I was, but I did, welcome everyone to WSCIRO, and I got really into it. There's a flow right now going on, and it's just so awesome. We're just came from doing a whole week of outreach with Sir New England. God's doing a very unusual thing with Sir. He's bringing it to the place where he wants it to be. He just doesn't want it to be a food co-op, that encourages people to volunteer hours of food, but he wants to get into the heart of the people, or the person that is filled called of God to be there for for our brothers and sisters. He wants to do a work within them, and so the Lord's getting together the spiritual side of serve as it relates to our ministry seek, and in what other and we're open to other other ministries coming aboard to bring the connection together, because we not only survive on just physical food, we survive on spiritual food, spiritual nourishment from the Lord, spiritual nourishment from heaven. And so it's just really awesome and wonderful how God is using these things to conversion them, is bringing them together in this thing we call conversion of just communities coming together and solving the problems of the day that mankind face every day. Okay, so Luke chapter 1, verse 9, okay? According to the custom of the priest's office, this lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. I just want to get to, let's go to Luke right now, and as we read that note, but I just wanted to kind of read the scriptures that surround that so that people can get a better perspective, a clearer picture, a clearer perspective on this, on the importance of incense, on the reality of incense, there is incense in heaven as well, but it mingles, our incense going up the Lord mingles with the Lord's incense from heaven. Let's see. Oh, my glass. I hope I can read this without my glass. All right. Okay, let's go. We're going to go to the birth of John the Baptist foretold. In the time of Herod, king of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Okay, both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he's talking about the priestly division, he was a full-time priest in the temple of God, and he was serving as a priest before God. He was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Right, could you imagine that being your full-time job, just burning incense? I would love to just worship the Lord all day. I would love that for that to be my full-time job. I wouldn't have to do anything but worship the Lord, and enjoy. I mean, I enjoy my job, and we should always enjoy our job. If we don't, you just ask the Lord. You might not be doing what the Lord wants you to do, but you you may just ask the Lord to move you into the job he has for you. Anything that you do, according to St. Teresa of the Little Flower, is likened to prayer, okay? And that's one of the things I want to get back to before I continue with the scripture. One of the things about this African, I found out they were from Trinidad, they were a group from New York, but they were, they were Baptists originally from Trinidad, and they had, and they adopted an African way of worship. So, we got a smorgasbord of just about everything. And as their prayers were going up, they were throwing flowers up to the Lord. I mean, could you imagine throwing flowers along with the incense of your praise to the Lord? I mean, that was such a pleasing sacrifice that the Lord couldn't help but send incense from heaven as his approval on that. Quite remarkable. It says, and when the time for the burden of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. All right, so he said what the Lord does, as our incense goes up, it becomes pleasing unto the Lord, and he, you know, as it rises to the altar of incense in heaven, okay, then he sends his angel, you know, and, you know, with a message. It's just, you know, we should really want to worship because we want to hear from heaven. And we want to be greeted by an angel of the Lord. Wouldn't that be great to expect that every time we worship? I think that when we do, we're going to get blessings beyond our wildest imagination, our wildest dreams. So anyways, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers." Okay, this is purpose. This is the destiny of John. "To their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah asked the angel, "How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years." The angel answered, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God near the altar of incense." I'm going to put that in there. He's the one that stands near the altar of incense in the presence of God. "And I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you the good news. And now you will be silent and not able to speak until the day this happens, because you do not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time." So, at this point, you know, even though the prayer of Zechariah was pleasing to the Lord, and the angel came, there was a recognition that there was a spirit of unbelief. Remember, we talked about that in previous broadcasts. And in the, you know, the spirit of unbelief is like a black hole. It's like it attracts God's blessings. And this was like big stuff. This was ordained of the Lord that this birth should happen. You know, and nothing's going to stop it, because it had been prophesied that Jesus was going to come, and over and over again, many of the prophets of old up until then, that's all they could proclaim, is because of what they saw happen in the spirit, what they saw happen in the heaven. And you know, as they proclaimed it, it took on its own substance, it took on its own form, it took on its own reality. And the Lord just sent his angel Gabriel, the messenger that stands by the altar of incense, to bring that, you know, to make sure to bring that for the promise to, you know, come to pass. And what happens is that our own words can stop the flow of blessings. But this was so important to the Lord that he had his angel come to, okay, see, recognizes, first of all, in Zechariah, to release the promise and to shout it to his mouth so what was uttered forth from heaven, from the throne room, can come to pass. Okay, that's how important this birth of John the Baptist was. So, you know, the Lord has priority in our lives, you know, and if we need to, and each one of us has a destiny, each one has a purpose, but we need to inquire of the Lord just what that is, and the best way to do that is through praise and worship. And so, And then in Revelation 8:3, it says, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. So that's the other part of the incense, that's in the golden censer at the altar before the throne. And then Revelation 8:4, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. So we really need to be people of radical worship and praise for the Lord. Praise first and then worship as we get into the spirit of worship. But a lot of things happen in the Holy Ghost that are they happen beyond our wildest dreams and our understanding, okay? And what does this all mean? You know, how does this translate into everyday existence on the face of the earth? First of all, when you praise and worship before the Lord, and you know, an incense goes up to the Lord, to the throne room, to the golden censer in the throne room. All right, what happens is that our being, especially if the Lord finds it pleasing, and the senate or angel, or he'll do something within our spirit that will mark us, we get transformed. We're never the same. We go from glory to glory, you know. That's what the smoke of his presence does. It carries us, our being. It infiltrates us, and it carries us from glory to glory. Now, I don't know how it happened, but this is what's been written based on other saints that have gone before us and their experience. So, you know, we really need to trust that God is doing something as we come into worship. And the peace that we receive that surpasses all human understanding, God in the heart and mind, it almost is like that's all we need. I remember a couple of weeks ago, the Lord wanted to show me just how much his hand is over me in the area of peace, surpassing all understanding, God in my heart and mind. I was just sharing this with my husband today. And I had asked the Lord, you know, why did you allow me to experience that panic attack? Now, I'm not one to receive them, but he wanted to show me that, you know, the laid backness that he poured forth in my spirit in the peace that surpasses all human standard was not of my doing. And he had allowed that to be removed to show me that it's his gift and not anything that I can possibly ever do for myself. I just had to surrender. So, you know, that humbled me because I'm starting to think, you know, oh, here I am, cool Shirley, you know, just giving everything over to the Lord. All I had to do, you know, that's all I had to do to receive this peace. But it was God doing it for me and to me because I have been at a place in my BC days that, you know, it was like, God, you're going to have to come on in there. I'm just going through forward with this breakdown, this emotional breakdown, mental breakdown. I had nothing left. So, you know, he had to come in there. He had to come in there to guide my heart and mind with his mind. He had to transpose not only his being, but his mind upon my mind, because my mind was weak at some point. And, you know, of course, that was due to, you know, walking in a sin nature. But it was like, but walking through it with the Lord and being open to his transformation process brought me to this place where, you know, I began to walk in total peace and victory. But, you know, I think he also allowed me to experience that, to know, you know, and know how to discern situations where there should be peace, and if there's not, then it's not as well. So, you know, there are several reasons why he told me, because of the next season that we're about ready to enter into, or that we have entered into. It's just wonderful. Well, of course, the name of this show is really not about what I just said, but these things are just building up to building up a crescendo, as they say in music, to the point of this broadcast. The title of this broadcast, the theme of this broadcast is Africa U2-8. So I needed to talk about what God was doing through the African nation as worshipers. And what I had, discussed and disclosed a couple of broadcasts ago, what the Lord showed me, how much He's blessed in Africa, because especially with His fatherhood gift, His fatherhood spirit, because Africa has been so, and it's not on their own merit, became a nation of orphans. As the land was stripped, the people were stripped. But in God's justice for the nation, He is pouring forth His Spirit in astronomical proportions by also moving through evangelists and ministers and missionaries coming from the United States, going over there and adhering to the call, being obedient to the call. As they became obedient, He begins to build up Africa. And one of the people that I really admire, a musician, and I believe Bono's a worshiper, is Bono of U2. His real name is Paul Hewson. And I always loved his songs because there was an element in the song that, would talk about the things of the Spirit, And I was at a place when I first heard U2 years ago where, like I said earlier, it was like, Lord, you have to come quickly and transform me and hop into my brain, into my hands, into my heart, because I was so fast. I was head on. I was running to the train, and I was about ready to have a head-on collision with that train going down the track. And the Lord just stopped that train, and he would use a lot of times, U2 songs to get me out of that muck. And so so years later, fast forward, finally doing what God's calling me to do. And I noticed that, Bono had, in 2005, I believe, founded the One.org organization. And that's the organization primarily, the primary goal is to inform as many people as they possibly can to establish a network of nonprofits that have the same mission and vision to eradicate extreme poverty off the face of the earth forever. Not all forms of poverty are noble. They are extreme and it requires and demands action on behalf of those who can help, who have been called to help the poor of the world. If you're a Christian, you've been called. But many times, especially in the United States, many Christians are very selfish. They got caught up in the American dream and adopted that as the gospel. And God is saying, forget the American dream. There's several American dreams out there, but forget the one that says you can have it all and, be the king of your life. Jesus is the king of our life. And, where He goes, we go. And He goes to the poor of this world, to the orphans, to the widows, and to the children. And there's a blessing there. There's a hidden blessing when you stand side by side and assist them with prayer, with support, on every level, emotional, spiritually, physically, intellectually, in every way to help build them up, to help build them up in the kingdom, okay? And there's this lie that seems to be going around where, they by their own choice got themselves involved, got themselves to that level. And I must say there are some forms of poverty that are just generational, have nothing to do with how a person's walking. And there are some forms of poverty that is very few percentage of people have made a choice to live their life a certain way, which got them to that place. And I must say that most forms of poverty do not fall into that category. So, you know, we really need to stop that judgment, and we need to really ask God how we can work with people. And this is another lie that says, well, they really don't want the help, you know. So then they withhold funds, and they withhold, like, a wonderful health care package that would, you know, cause more people to remain alive and healthy so they can serve the Lord. I really believe that the enemy is out there on all fronts, with the abortion, with not providing health care so people can, you know, not live out the fullness of their lives and die at an early age. I was just reading something from an email that I recently sent, and I posted it on Facebook, all right, and Twitter, because it was something that my heart, that Lord was speaking to my heart about, and I got to be true to it. And finally, you know, he moves through people who are very, we have the same kind of mind and heart for people of the earth. And so this is shocking. This is shocking news. It says, just yesterday, Harvard Medical School, now this is Harvard, Harvard Medical School released a study that shows nearly 45,000 people in the United States die each year because they don't have health insurance. The staggering statistic is worse than we thought. Nearly doubled previously reported numbers and greater than the number of deaths from drunk driving and homicide combined. With new reports coming out every day about insurance companies trying to increase their profits by dropping patients after they get seriously ill and classifying cesarean sections and experiencing domestic violence as pre-existing conditions, these devastating numbers are bound to grow unless we act. As a nation, we fail to fulfill our moral duty to love our neighbors. And I'm going to say, as even a Christian nation, how about as Christians in the body of Christ, whether you're on Facebook or YouTube, for the most part, it doesn't take a rocket scientist who can at least read on a fifth grade level, all right, the comments and the status updates on Facebook, Twitter, and other social networks, how people just taking a dummy down approach to issues that concern the Lord's heart. And it's almost like they're slapping the Lord in the face when it comes to being overly critical about an issue, an inalienable right by God for people to have good quality health care, all right? And so, you know, when you have insurance companies that carry the ball to determine whether you have, you're covered for blood tests or that can determine many illnesses or any other thing, that's not right. They're not good. They do not have the power of your life. Yes, God does. The Holy Spirit does, but he does work through doctors. But in order to have God work through doctors, we have to be able to come into that place where things would be covered by our insurance. All right, so the answer to that is, if this is going to happen, then make insurance, health insurance, free for all. Okay? These people don't want to do it because they want to be in control. If they are not in control, then they lose the reason for why they exist. Some people exist to control, and some people exist, for God to find out whether they want to, know what their calling is. Okay? It says, our current system is failing badly. All right. Oh, well, let me back up. It says, as a nation, we fail to fulfill our moral duty to love our neighbors, heal the sick, and protect the vulnerable if we tolerate a system that kills so many of our brothers and sisters and leaves millions more in danger of dying preventable deaths. Did you know that withholding certain drugs or treatments that can actually prolong a person's life for 20 to 30 years, withholding because of something that's covered in insurance, withholding treatment is the same thing as murder? Just food for thought, just tossing that out, okay? Just withholding. Or withholding the truth, if it's going to help somebody, is like a lie. So let's go back up here. Heal the sick and protect the vulnerable if we tolerate a system that kills so many of our brothers and sisters and leaves millions more in danger of a dying, preventable death. Our current system is failing, and we need to get the word out. You've done so much with our 40 Days for Health Reform campaign. Can you help us one more time? So this is a cry for people like myself who, you know, I really believe God poured into my heart a heart of compassion to help those that are less fortunate than myself. And yeah, there were times where I was right there where I needed help myself. And if it wasn't for the minimal help that I got, it could have been more, but the minimal, things would be drastic. Things would be a lot different. And there were times when the help wasn't there. God intervened because I wanted him to. I made him want to save my life. But not many people have that even. So, you know, we really need to be Christ to people. And we need to go out of our way to see to it that this happens and it happens more. Love is more contagious than hate. Hate can be like a snowball, but love is more contagious than hate. So that's what I wanted to share with you. YouTube is coming to Foxborough, and for some people from all over the world call it Boston, which is actually 30 miles away from Boston, but it's 15 minutes away from us. And we are going. We are going because I don't make people, you know, I don't worship it. I make it a point to not worship or idolize the human being. But what I do recognize through the gift of God operating in me and through the grace of God operating in me and through his mercy and his love operating through me, all right, all those virtues come from the kingdom of God. Within us. When I recognize that with those gifts, I recognize greatness in others of the same Holy Spirit working on behalf of mankind, working to that individual, and I really get such a strong sense that the Lord is using Bono at this hour. He has had wonderful proteges like Mother Teresa, you know, mentoring him in this area. And other people that are highly influencing factors in today's society and who have the same heart of compassion, money, and time. And so, but Ronald's words cut right to the to anyone's being because, the words that he sings about justice, about social justice, about how to get into that position to help your fellow man and how that's love in action. That is a message that the church should be teaching. Now, you know, if people not open in the spirit to hear or teach in the body of Christ, or I would say in a church setting, because the Lord can, you know, erect an altar anywhere in the world, okay, anywhere in this universe, and preach a good sermon through a willing vessel. So it could be anywhere. It could be on a concert stage. It could be in a back alley somewhere. It could be in a grocery store, supermarket. It could be anywhere where there are willing vessels. And I believe that Bono is a willing vessel. And, you know, I've read some things about his life that have pointed to the fact that he has had Holy Spirit encounters. So when someone has had that in the context of worship, it tells me that they are, sent of the Lord to do certain, to do certain things for the kingdom. So, somewhere along the line, like myself, like yourself, whoever's listening, have gotten discouraged by people within our own family, Christian family, maybe some, you know, some people resented the fact that you want to help out people and you have that, you're operating in that love of God that they want. So then they try to make the way difficult for you because they're not there yet, you know, and they're, you know, they want to control. And, you know, and usually in those circumstances and situations that befall us through manipulations, what happens is that people, other people see it and they make, they still allow this, they still make allowances for these things to happen. And then the spirit of discouragement will try to set in the person's heart and make them less effective and not obedient. And it's because a brother or a sister in the Lord who, you know, is weak-willed in nature has, you know, was used as the tool of the enemy to throw a monkey wrench in the plan of God operating through that particular individual. If I was in that category, I would not want to be in it, first of all. I would have to ask the Lord for forgiveness, you know. I really get a sense that we need to pray all, you know, for people in this category, that they find themselves in the place where, you know, they see the hand of the Lord moving in someone, yet because it's not moving in them, they become self-centered and like, it's not, you know, happening to me, so I'm going to ignore it totally. And that other person, that's wrong, because you're closing God out. You're shutting God out. You're shutting a part of the body of Christ down. You know, causing the body of Christ to be sick. And God doesn't want you to do that anymore. In Jesus' holy name, He wants you to love like He loves. He doesn't want you to get hung up on yourself. And for those who allow individuals to have that control instead of the Holy Spirit, because you're not trusting in the Holy Spirit, you're trusting in men before God, okay, for approval. You get your approval from God, okay? I want to pray for an upright heart and a renewed and steadfast spirit for people that are caught up in that. I mean, I've been in both camps, and I know how it feels. And God is saying that, you know, the time is too short. The Father is saying the time is too short. And, you know, we really need to be about His business. Time is given to us as a precious gift, you know, to measure our existence and how we used it. And we really are accountable to time, especially when we have to give an account of how we spent our time here on the earth. Did we spend it in bickering? Did we spend it in complaining? Did we spend it in jealousy? Did we spend it in the negative emotions? Did we spend it in building up the kingdom? Did we spend it in laying hands on the sick so they could be healed? Did we spend it on preaching the good news of the kingdom and loving everyone, you know, into the Father's heart? You know, if we spend it like that, we are going to have a glorious future. But if we spend it the other way, okay, you know, that's burying our talents in the sand, and we will not have a glorious future, okay? So we need to look at it that way. And so, you know, I like to gravitate towards people who are spending their time wisely, you know, spending their time to feed the widows and orphans and children and to help them get to a better place so that they can give glory to God, all right? Because the Lord resides in them. The kingdom of God is within them. You know, you don't want to ignore the kingdom of God before you. Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand. How is the kingdom of God at hand? And the kingdom of God is at hand by the virtue of the fact that He created you and He exists in you. And He exists in your brothers and sisters around you. So, you know, we can't be picking and choosing what we're going to say about someone, because, you know, if you, you know, have anything to say about negative about anybody that's made in God's image, okay, and even making fun of them and mock them, you're mocking God. You're making fun of God because Jesus, you know, the Lord lives inside of them. It's our duty to pray, you know, because sometimes people are more acclimated to following the dictates of the flesh than of the spirit. So when you see that happening, you, the light should come and say, aha, what can I do? You know, instead of criticizing that person in my mind or verbally, what can I do to, you know, to encourage that person, or, you know, or ask the Lord to agree with what God's doing on behalf of that person to cause that person to be more to be more sensitive and open to the things of spirit. Well, it's through prayer. It's nothing else but prayer. All right? It's not soulish prayers. It's prayers of the heart on behalf of that individual and mankind for that one purpose, and that's to bring people into the kingdom of God, you know, and bring the kingdom of God to the earth and to release it in its fullness and in its entirety. So, you know, that's why I'm going to the YouTube class. And this is because I want to be where God is at work. Yeah. And Ronald wrote this wonderful book on his why he is doing what he's doing. And if you buy this, you will actually be, you'll actually be helping to support an organization he founded. And that was that's the one campaign to make poverty history. You can purchase this book also by going to www.one.org. And my husband and I have been selected because we are you know, part of one.org. We want to bring it more into the limelight of Sir New England, but we have volunteered our time for the concert. So as a result of that, we're going to be closer to the stage. We actually purchased tickets before then, and purchasing them, we've actually have to give them away because because the Lord wanted us to do this, you know, one.org thing, and so we'll be doing that on Monday, and I can't wait. Part of me felt like, oh, you know, I'm just going to go to the concert just watch, and you know, I had this. This thing, and I really, really God put into my spirit that wherever I go, you know, to preach the kingdom, to preach the kingdom sometimes through your actions, you know, in less words, or, you know, in you know, doing the activity of the kingdom. So it's just so awesome what God's doing, and I just want the Lord to just bless the people, the young people that I call to be part of the one campaign at the concert, you know, that, Lord, that you would, your presence would be with them and on them, on all of us, in our thoughts and our words and our actions and our deeds when we set up our booths and when we interact with those who want to find out more information about how to participate in erasing radical poverty forever. Now, another way to do this is to also go to one.org and look up bands. You know, I have these white bands that I order from time to time. And they're like the pro-life bands, but they're white. They're not that expensive. I think they're like for $10? $1. $10 for $10. So each band is like $1. And it's really a good conversation piece to let, you know, when people ask me what I'm doing and why I'm wearing the white band, I tell them, and then I lead into one.org. And so for those of you who have websites, you can even white band your website by going to that particular phrase, white band your website, and then you generate an HTML code. You put that in your memory. You put that into your browser memory through copying. Either control A and then control C, and then you post it, control V, and you post it in the HTML section of your webpage or blog, and then you'll see the white band appear several seconds later. But that is how we are promoting this and just participating in this big global effort. And anything that you can buy over YouTube and even the tickets go to support that endeavor. That's another thing. I don't really like to go to concerts because of the emphasis on the ego and the emphasis on the self and the whole selfish concept. But I wanted to go to this one because it's not all about self. It's all about helping others. It's all about God on the move, because love is on the move, according to what Bono was saying. And if he looked at human beings, if he looked at Christians, you know, if he continued to look at Christians the way that he was, because his heart was getting hard, he was getting cynical, because he was like, if Christians hurt their own, coming from Ireland, I mean, there was a struggle between the unity between the Protestants and the Catholics on several issues, on many issues. And if he had just honed in on that, honed in on the hurt, honed in on everything, it would just paralyze him, and it started to. But then God put people in his path that were believers that had the same mission and vision, and this caused his hope to be alive and to really say, look, all right, not every Christian has this problem. The ones that do it are weak, so we need to pray, and we need to, you know, be about our Father's business. So, ouch. Wow, I almost fell off my chair on that one. Ooh, but I think we have 1 hour remaining, actually. Wow. Jeff, is there anything that you have, you know, that you want to say to this? I mean, we're, you know, I feel like this is such an inexhaustible topic, but I want to share with the viewing audience about the poor. Okay, you're not yet? Well, let's take a, you know what, I want to take a prayer break, because I really feel that I said a whole lot this past hour. We have another hour remaining. And I'm not so sure we're going to go this entire hour. But I really believe we need to get into prayer right now. And Jeff, if you can lead into prayer, okay? Yeah, the Holy Spirit's coming upon you right now.
Holy God, we bless you and we praise you and we exalt you, Lord, God of the universe, King of kings, and Lord of lords. We just praise you and thank you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity for giving your love into the world and into your body, Lord, that needs it so much, Lord. We thank you. We just ask for your anointing to go forth from this sound of my voice into the world and into everyone who listens to this. We ask power, glory, and majesty to fall on you and convict you where you need to change and empower you to make those changes in cooperation with the Holy Spirit and the mercy and grace of God our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah, Mama Lashere, Kiera Mandera, Kataman, Niran, Urukuban, Yeshurukapapa, power, power and glory unto you, Lord. Power and glory, majesty unto you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. King of kings, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Surely, sir. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, come, Lord Jesus, come into our hearts in a greater way. Come into our minds. Come into our life. Lord, make us ready. Make us one in you. So, Lord, that we can come together as one and feed the sick. I mean, heal the sick. Feed the sick, too, because there many people are sick because they don't have any food to eat. And Lord, we need to feed them so they can have the strength to recover. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. And Lord, they also need to be healing of the sick. And there are times, Lord, where people do not go to doctors because they don't have the money, they don't have the insurance. And lots of times they don't have the faith to be healed. And we're asking, Lord, for an increase of faith. And we're also asking, Lord, for you to help everyone's unbelief about your intervention into their lives for healing. We are also asking, Lord, that you would raise up love warriors that would move in the power of your love in the power of your provisions to provide for those that, who don't have, which is our call. And I believe, Lord, that what the enemy meant for evil is in regards to the prosperity doctrine that was has been preached erroneously out there in the body of Christ, that that you are wanting to release prosperity from the kingdom so that we can feed the poor. You know, we can clothe the children. We can clothe the widow and the orphans and feed them and be there in every way so that they don't lose hope. They do not lose sight and they don't lose their perspective on you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your divine intervention. We thank you, Lord. I just want to just read from, page 20 of On the Move by Bono. He writes, it's not a coincidence that in the scriptures, poverty is mentioned more than 2,100 times. It's not an accident. That's a lot of airtime, 2,100 mentions. You know, the only time Christ is judgmental is on the subject of the poor. As you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me, Matthew 25:40. And I say good news to the poor. And here's some good news for the president. And this is talking about President Bush. Okay, and this is part of his prayer breakfast talk. That's where this book On the Move comes from. All right. After 9/11, we were told America would have no time for the world's poor. America would be taken up with its own problems of safety. And it's true, these are dangerous times, but America has not drawn the blinds and double locked the doors. In fact, America has doubled aid to Africa. America has tripled funding for global health. The President's emergency plan for AIDS relief and support with Congress for the Global Fund has put 900,000 people under life-saving antiretroviral drugs and provided 11 million bed nets to protect children from malaria. Outstanding human achievements, counterintuitive, historic, be very, very proud. So that was his accolades to the Congress. And now we see on the other side of that, 3 or 4 years later, with you know, President Barack Obama saying the same things that Bono's been saying, but it falling on really deaf ears of Congress, that people are not as important to Congress as was. You know, and you know, the healthcare package is, you know, people are just using it as a Russian roulette for other things, and they're not operating out of love, you know, in their response to this. There are people that are and there are people that are not. And, you know, what side of love does people not, what side of love do people not understand? What side of love do House of Representatives not understand? The love of neighbor. What part of that do they not understand? I think in order for them to understand, they need to be falling flat on their face and give their hearts to the Lord. Okay, and stop manipulating the hearts and minds of Americans who really want to make a difference. But, you know, because of all these voices, all these lies, and all these manipulations that are flying around, you know, they're not fully convinced that, you know, Congress has the answers. And it's the Lord that has the answers, but you know, don't feel it. Don't lie and deceive the American people into thinking that you have the answers when you just want to control. You know, and I'm just speaking to folks out there who may be listening to this that are part of the problem, okay, and part of the manipulation. They're hard to harden, and you need to repent. And that's just what the Lord is saying. You know, when you're not operating in love, you are going to say lewd things. You're going to call the president a liar in front of the American people, and you're going to say other things about other people groups, and, you know, without any regards for your life or anybody else's, because as soon as judgment leaves your mouth, you're going to get it back in some form or another in your life. So I would rather be, and I'd rather see leaders stand on the side of defending the widow, the poor, and the orphan. You'd be in a better position with God if you do. And that's just, you know, I don't believe that's my opinion. I believe this is the gospel. I believe that this is Jesus speaking. Because it took me a while to even come to this point. We just have to just be about our Father's business. It says right here, I'm looking at another part of the Bonnell's book, On the Move. On page 34, he writes, do to others as you would have them do to you. Luke 6:31, Jesus says that righteousness is this, okay? That one should give away wealth out of love for him to the near kin and the orphans and the needy and the wayfarer and the beggars and for the emancipation of the captives. And then he quotes also from the Quran, which is surprising. So thus saith the Lord, bring the homeless, poor, and the house. When you see them naked, cover him. Then your light will break out like the dawn. Your recovery will speedily spring forth. Then your Lord will be your rear guard. Okay, I'm sorry. That says that. That's a Jewish scripture. So the Jewish scripture says that. Isaiah 58 again. All right. But back up here, it says this is, he quotes from the Quran. All right. Righteousness is this, that one should give away wealth out of love for him to the near kin and the orphans and the needy and the wayfarer and the beggars and for the emancipation of the captives, says this, the Quran says this. Now, I'm not pushing the Quran as a Christian, but I am quoting from the book of, you know, that Bono was inspired to write, On the Move. It's his experience with the poor and advocating for the poor, and it reflects his speech that he had given at the prayer talk when President Bush was in office. He further writes down here that bringing the homeless and the poor into the house, when you see the naked and you cover him, your light is shining, says that this is a powerful incentive. The Lord will watch your back, you know, and he will. So I think people are afraid to do these things because they somehow, when one gets into their selfishness, they first of all, there's a couple of questions they ask themselves. If I pour myself out, what is in it for me? And if I pour out myself, like, you know, this much, what is in it for me? It's all about me. And then if you're in a very hostile environment, it's all about, well, Lord, will you really protect me if I pour myself out for the sake of my brother, you know? And then that doubt comes in there. But many times when people have been led of the Lord to go into dangerous countries or dangerous zones, it's not lots of times dangerous zones are in our minds. There are zones within our minds. They're not even, you know, real most of the time. But, you know, when the hands of the Lord are on it, and he gives you his stamp of approval for it, remember these one thing. Not that we look for it, but signs and wonders will follow those because we believe. We believe that. And the one that sent us has sent us. And that's what we have to do, you know. My husband Jeff and myself, we're going through this testing right now where God is really, he's pushing us out into the deep in the area of outreach. And, you know, we have to intermingle with people with different philosophies and faith perspectives. And some of them are not Christian, but then when we hear their stories, they're like, on their way to being Christian, but when we hear the story, they once were following the way, but then they got discouraged, or, you know, it's always the same, it's always the same story. So then we realize we're called to pray, we're called to be there to pray instead of judging, okay? So, but We know that God wants to do some wonderful things, and they are open to hearing what the Lord has because they are hungry. And so the Lord is saying, where there's a spiritual hunger, rejoice, because God is about ready to make himself known. He's about ready to make himself known to people. He's about ready to make himself known to hungry people. When you're hungry, you want to eat food. When you're hungry, you want to eat spiritual food. And the Father God, who loves us all because we're his children, he has a desire to feed us. He has a desire to feed the ones that are the hungriest. So we have to recognize hunger in people. You know, that it goes beyond just physical hunger, but it's more spiritual hunger, you know. And we got to be hungry to meet their need. Like, God is hungry for us, you know, because he's God. He's hungry. He desires to call us. He desires, you know, desire to eat and desire to do anything else. It's the same kind of desire. They're all related characteristics or desire, you know. Just think of a desire as like a fishing hook, you know. You know, the Lord wants to get that fish, or, you know, the fisherman wants to get that fish because he desires, he's pulling that, and desire pulls. When you have a desire for anything, you know, for worship, it pulls. When you have a desire for worshiping God, it pulls on the anointing, pulls on the presence, because the presence of the Lord is substance. Faith is a substance, and, you know, love is a substance, it pulls. So if you have a desire to love people, you're pulling out the substance of love in the Holy Ghost. And so you'll get it once as you're pulling on it. And I mean, that's so remarkable. You know, it's just, you know, and it's just, you pull it down from heaven. So I just, it says, you know, I'm going to read from the, I'm reading another page from On the Move. I think after that we're going to just wrap this up, because I believe that, you know, the ones who faithfully listen to us, that you are finally getting it. Like, God is doing something in the core of your spiritual DNA that is putting things back into place. It's, you know, revelation is happening. You're getting the you know, in your spirit. This is what it's all about. You know, especially when you know it's not all about you. It's like, oh, okay, here we go. So let's go back to page 37 on the Move with Bono. It says, a number of years ago, I met a wise man who changed my life in countless ways, large and small. I was always seeking the Lord's blessing. I was saying, you know, I have a new song, look after it. Or I have a family, please look after them. Or I have this crazy idea. And this wise man said, stop, he said. Stop asking God to bless what you're doing. Get involved in what God is doing because it's already blessed. God, as I said, is with the poor. That, I believe, is what God is doing, and that is what he's calling us to do. And that is why, you know, we feel so compelled and inspired and blessed and honored to do this one.org thing at the concert at Gillette Stadium. It's a wonderful way to witness the love of God for the poor. So I just want to just ask, you know, God to just touch everyone who's been called to this ministry, whether it be conventional in church or in the community, and Lord, that you would release your blessing of approval upon that, because it's already blessed. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, that you would just, in a very special way, send forth your spirit and show them your glory. Show the ones that have been called to this radical lifestyle, okay? Show them your glory and show them your love so they can fully manifest your presence to people that really need it and that are really hungry for more of you and how you operate in time in human existence. And Lord, for those who somehow have that focus and lost it, we ask that you would renew their strength and give them eagle's wings, that they would get right back on track, and that there would be no distance that was ever lost in their folly. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we just pray for total restoration for the body of Christ so that they can do what they have been called to do. And that is feed the poor, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and just be examples of the Father's love for the orphans. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be able to come on and dial in on this phone and to Blog Talk Radio and just talk about you and what you want to do through them and what you're already doing and how you're calling your people and how you're loving your people. Lord, just love on them. Fill them, Lord. Fill them with your love and your presence and release it through them so that this world is never the same again. Thank you, Lord. We pray for a new focus. We pray for a new perspective. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. A new focus and a new perspective. Your perspective. Let your perspective become their perspective. Lord, let your perspective become my perspective. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Change perspective. And Lord, where there's no words, that we would feel more comfortable as people made in your image to speak in tongues, speak in the Spirit, and in all occasions. And so I'm going to just end with Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, because we want you to pull down the bread of heaven and bring it into the earth's realm, you know? That's communion, right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth and in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver all of us from evil, from the evil of our thinking, of agreeing with the way that the world system thinks, and deliver us from the way that we look at each other, Lord, the way we look at you, the way we look at our brothers and sisters, the things that we say. Deliver us, Lord, from the resentment and the jealousies and the anger and the control and the manipulation, Lord, that get in the way of your kingdom truly coming to the earth. We thank you, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, the temptations of reacting, the temptations of just sinking lower than we ought, the temptations of a hard heart, of agreeing with the bad report, the temptations of speaking the bad report, the temptations of being complacent, the temptations of us not fulfilling the gospel mandate. Deliver us from all that, you know, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power in the glory of, are yours, now and forever. Amen. And, Lord, for those who would like to take communion, we can, they can, this, if you want to get some bread and juice, and grape juice is preferred, okay? And we're just going to take communion and just ask the Lord to just release a blessing upon the poor, the widow, and the orphan. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, on this night of Shabbat, on this night of Rosh Hashanah, that, Lord, you want to make yourself known to the poor of the of this world, whether we be poor spiritually, intellectually, physically, poor in every way, poor in heart. We ask, Lord, that you would be the strength. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just want to just take your offer. This bread is your body, which was broken for us. We take this bread and we do this in remembrance of you for the healing of the nations. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And in the same manner, we do offer this drink as your blood sacrifice, your atonement for our sins. And as often as we drink of your blood, eat of your body, drink your blood, we do this in remembrance of you, and that there's healing in this. Healing for the nations. Healing for the orphans, the widow, and the children. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And so we say, Lord, by your cross and resurrection, you have set us free. You are the Savior of the world. So we just wanted to thank you, Lord, for our brothers and sisters. We ask that, Lord, that you would just bless them in their sleep, Lord, as they go to sleep tonight and they get renewed. And that mind, body, soul, still will, spirit, will, and emotion, that would, that when they upon when they wake up, Lord, that they would be so energized and rejuvenized and restored to the point that they would want to fulfill your gospel mandate. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Well, we love you guys, and you know, for those of you, we still have some tickets, right, Jeff? We have about. Well, we already gave two tickets away. We have three more tickets, actually two official tickets. Two more tickets that need to, people need to come if they want to come. So we're going to offer this on Facebook, and we're just going to see from anybody who's in the Boston area or in any part of New England, if you want to come to a U2 concert, that's not sold out. That would be Monday, September 21st at 7. But of course, you're going to have to come earlier to get the tickets. You can contact me on Facebook or Twitter me, and or call me on my cell phone. We have one. It is 774, it's our ministry phone, 386-2549. 774-386-2549. And we have a couple of things that are going to be happening in the near future. We have a building. We share it with Serve New England. We sit on the board of directors of Serve New England. And, you know, this is for prayer purposes or anybody who wants to come. We're looking at, let's see, we are going to, wow, so many different things happening here. we sat in the first of the year, and we're looking to towards February. We are going to establish or start a series of gatherings called the Joshua Connection Prayer Summit, named after my son Joshua. And the fact that the hand of God is on our children, but also on mankind, to those who are who receive his baptism and are followers of him, of Jesus. And we are just going to get into prayer. We're going to build a foundation of prayer. It's going to be based on 3 days. 3 days. Jesus was in the belly of the earth, but Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, and Jesus was in the earth for 3 days. So it takes 3 days for something to form in spirit. And so we are going to the Lord saying he wills that we lay a foundation of prayer. And so we're going to start this, and hopefully it's going to be like once a month thing for 3 days at a time. And then we're looking at, we got to find out what space, when the space is available, but we're looking at Wednesdays or Fridays for prayer and soak in prayer, just to, dig the wells of prayer and, as the Lord opens up the heavens to prayer, praise and worship and soak in prayer. But we're going to really need some intercessors to come forward for the Heart Room Bowl. We're going to do this Heart Room Bowl style. And that's going to start in November. And it's just we are just feeling called of God to just get in there for prayer. And anybody that needs, some spiritual direction, feel free to call Sir New England. We do have an office there. And that's going to be 508-436-7663. So, again, that's 508-436-7663. And we would be really happy to get back to you. All right, we'll be having an online prayer line as well, so stay tuned for that, and we will send out a video regarding that as well. Okay, God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful weekend. Bye.